time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Journal Sentinel Bucks podcast. I'm Matt Velasquez, and I'm on the line with Charles Gardner as we put together this coast-to-coast edition of the podcast. I'm in Newark prepping for Marquette's game against Seton Hall, and Charles is in Portland coming off the Bucks' loss against the Trailblazers on Tuesday. And Charles, I think you win the battle of the two cities where people would rather be, but at least I have hot water in my hotel room.
Yeah, no hot water so far, but I'm hopeful. I've called the desk. Life on the road, Matt. But hey, Portland, it's not raining. We got to consider that a victory. And Portland is one of my favorite NBA cities. It's just a very cool city. Yeah, I might win the bet. Well, I definitely win the bet.
Yeah, there's no might in there. It's raining. It's 56 degrees, but raining in Newark. You know, so, you know, the nice temperature, you know, kind of goes counter to the rain. But, you know,
right.
It's you know, just another stop in another Big East city for another another fun college basketball game tonight.
Well, and I got to give a plug to, the one of the best things in Portland, Matt, coming in yesterday on a back-to-back after a game in Sacramento the night before. And, of course, in California, you got to drive your car, right? You got to drive your car wherever you go. And as soon as you get to Portland, you get on the MAX train, $5 all day pass, go right to the hotel, and go right back to the arena. It's just a wonderful public transit system. A lot of people know about it. One of my daughter's friends was up at our place this weekend, and he had been out here and gone to a Blazers Nuggets game, and he was just raving about it. And I said, yep, I'm going to be there in a few days. And it's really can take you all over the city. It's very fun, very cool.
Yeah, so since the last time we recorded, basically nothing good has happened for the Bucks.
That's it, man. Let's see. They beat Orlando in Jason Kidd's return, and since then they have lost four straight, and it's kind of a typical story every night. They hang in there for about three quarters. They did this in Sacramento again last night here in Portland, and then the fourth quarter against the Kings, they gave up 37 points in the fourth quarter. Not so bad last night. It was 28-22 in the fourth, but again, Gerald Henderson, who looked like a new player, I didn't even recognize him from his days in Charlotte when he was kind of on his last legs. He's been rejuvenated out here. 13 points of his 14 in the fourth. He's dunking over people, rebound dunks, knocking threes down from the corner. What would the Bucks give for a reserve player like that, Matt?
Oh my goodness. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, this team's bench has been, you know, just such a work in progress is probably the nicest way to put it. And you know, and that progress has been, you know, kind of slow. So, you know, to have somebody that you can rely on off your bench who you know, can give you a bump and not be injured and all that, you know, that's something that the Bucks just haven't had.
Oh, Jared Bayless played, you know, I will give him credit. He played well off the bench last night. He had 16. He hit his first six shots. But, you know, they just don't have enough. As you said, here's Portland coming in with four players off their bench that are all productive every night and consistently outscoring the other team's bench. And the Bucks maybe have Bayless. Now, Henson's hurt. Obviously, a lot of it has to do with injuries. You got Vasquez down. You got Mayo down. But at the same time, I think, Matt, it's not just about the injuries. They have to get better players on the bench. You know, one thing that they have, and then maybe that's something they can address at the trade deadline. One thing they have is Rashad Vaughn, who's starting to knock some shots down and getting some confidence. And, you know, even if that's just a glimmer, that's the second youngest player in the league. He hit two big threes last night early on against Sacramento, or not last night, on Monday night. So that's the kind of thing that they need to see. You know, it's to the point where you see a three-pointer go down for the Bucks and you're like, wow, okay, hey, that really helps out because it's so rare. And of course, giving up threes on the other end. We can talk about that a little bit as well.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect transition right there in terms of the three-point shooting against the Bucks, because we've talked about this before on the podcast, you know, including recently, that they just don't defend the three-point line well. And, you know, when you don't defend the three-point line well and you can't shoot them yourselves, that's a pretty bad combination, especially in today's NBA.
No question. I thought it was very revealing when George Karl, in his pregame comments the other night in Sacramento, you know, George is always prepared, looking around the league. He's such a veteran. We all know George very well. And he was, man, I would say he was almost salivating at the prospect of going against the Bucks and getting some threes. And actually, the Kings struggled with that most of the night. But then at the end of the game, boom, 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 Bellinelli hit one, then Caspi, then Rondo, who was 4 for 4 from three, by the way.
And he's not a three-point shooter.
No, and he banked one in, but they were all open. And I thought the most telling comment after the game, it was almost funny, was Greg Monroe saying, hey, you can't give him dare shots. Dare shots. He said, if you're going to give him dare shots, he said, I could make those shots. Okay. You know, so obviously Greg was a little frustrated with them giving up 4 three-pointers to Rondo. But going back to what Karl said at the beginning of the game or in the pregame, I thought it was great. He said, hey, look, he said, I think we're a team that struggles defending the three. And he said, we're about minus 250 points on threes made versus threes against. And he said the team they had played recently and a team the Bucks played recently, the Memphis Grizzlies, I don't know their exact number, but George was saying, hey, they're in the 400s. You know, that's pretty bad. He said, but then this team, he said, now he said, this I couldn't believe. He said that the Bucks are almost minus 600 points on threes. And if you look at it after last night, 11 for 31 for Portland from three. The Bucks had five for 14, I believe they were. But the Bucks now have made 278 threes and given up 476, nearly 200 more. And so that computes to a negative 594 points on three-point shooting.
That's incredible.
That's a pretty big number. And you can be first in points in the paint, which the Bucks have been for a long time, but that's not going to make up for that kind of number on three-point.
Oh, not at all. I mean, it's pretty well known that it's more advantageous to be, you know, to make 35% of your threes than it is to make 50% of your twos. You know, if you run those numbers out over the course of 100 shots, you're going to get, you know, 50 made twos is 100 points and 35 made threes is 105. And so you're better off doing that. So the Bucks can, you know, can be good in the paint, but if they're giving up threes at the rate that they are, then at the end of the day, they're going to get outscored more times than they're going to, you know, outscore other teams.
No, and other teams are, you know, really trying to exploit this. And they have run into a couple teams here lately that where you thought Memphis, for example, that's not a three-point shooting team. But even some of the non-three-point shooting teams are having success against the Bucks. So I think it's something they have to address on both ends. Finding some players who can hit the three. Obviously, that has to do with some of the decisions they made in the offseason. And Vasquez has hit 14 threes before he was injured. He had, I think, 133 three-pointers last year for Toronto. So that obviously was a calculation that has not come up for the Bucks the way they thought it would. And that's huge when you look at these kind of numbers. And so they're going to have to, you know, really they have two threats on the team right now from three-point range, Chris Middleton and Jared Bayless.
Yeah, and when you take out the threat of shooting the three, it totally kills your spacing, which is something that the Bucks, as they're currently composed, we kind of knew coming into the season they'd have problems with, right. You know, especially with all the young guys and the fact that, you know,
athletic guys,
right? They're athletic, but they're not shooters, and so you say, all right, well, you just need to find a couple guys who can be threats. Mm-hmm. So a Grievous Vasquez, in addition to Chris Middleton or OJ Mayo or Jerry Bayless, those couple guys need to be three-point shooters. And also, you know, Giannis and Jabari need to at least keep defenses honest with enough, you know, outside shots so they could say, hey, we can't just, you know, totally slide off these guys. You know, if we leave Jabari or Giannis open in the corner, they're going to knock it down, you know. But the thing is, they haven't really shown a propensity for doing that a lot of this season.
No, Matt, good point. And that leads me to something I talked to Giannis about in the locker room last night. Is I said, hey, at the end of the first half last night, Matt, Giannis gets a nice opening in the corner. And he's much more effective from the corner than he is from up top of the arc. And he got a nice opportunity. The Bucks down 10. And you're thinking, oh, gosh, Giannis is going to take a three here at the end of the half. And they're down 10, but he drained it. And that put him within 7 at halftime and really, you know, kept them in a pretty close game. Later in the third quarter, they were within 1. They never did get over the hump. They got within 1 point twice. But, again, I asked him, I said, and he said, hey, I just decided before the game, if I'm in rhythm, I got to shoot it. And, you know, I think he goes back and forth. As a young player, he's 21 years old, and sometimes he's like, oh, I'm not going to shoot it. I'm not that confident. And then last night he said, hey, I'm just taking this.
You know? And that's the mentality. I don't know what he's being told in practice and what the situation is there, but that's got to be his mentality. He has to just be confident in his shot. I know it's something he's been working on a lot, you know, going back even a couple seasons. And so, you know, you're not gonna make any shots you don't take, and you're not gonna get better at it in a game situation unless you take some. And I think that that's something that I would have to believe that a lot of Bucks fans would want to see. You know, at least put the shots up, at least give them a try. You know, try and, you know, show other teams that that's something that you can do, so that when you get
a weapon.
Yeah, when you get into future games and situations where a defender, you know, you want to make them think about whether or not they have to guard you out there. And the more that they're thinking about that, the better your situation is going to be as an attacking player.
Yeah, well, even we were talking about Rondo. That was something Jason Kidd said in the morning in California the other day. He said, now, you know, he said everybody talks about Rondo's playmaking. He said, but he can make a shot. Even though the Bucks did not guard him at the three.
Well, they don't guard a lot of people at the three.
But that's consistent, yes. So, yeah, and I think going back to Vaughn, one of the good things I talked to him is, you know, his confidence is growing each time he makes a three. But as you say, you got to take him in the game. He's been very bashful. He's been deferring, and he's starting to get over that. You can see that he's looking for his shot now. His teammates have said, hey, if you're in the game, you know, you have to shoot it. This is going to help us out. And he's missed some, but he's also been making a few more. And, you know, I'm sure it's going to be a process for him, but at least that's a little bit of an encouraging sign. One thing Coach Kidd said last night in the pregame also about Vaughn was that, you know, he's not limited to just being a three-point shooter. He has the quickness. He can get inside. He's 6'6". He can go to the rim. He can make some plays in the paint. So they've also been encouraging him to say, hey, you know, if you want to fake the three and go around your man, you have the ability to do that. And so I think that's something going forward that's encouraging about Vaughn, is he's not going to be a guy, as he gets a little bigger, as he matures, he's 19 years old, he's going to be able to go in and battle and get his shot off against some of the better guards in the league too.
Yeah, and so, you know, that kind of transitions well into a kind of question that I had that I think we can discuss, which is, you know, you look at the Bucks team and you know they're young, and young teams are prone to inconsistency and up and down play and being streaky and all that stuff. I'm seeing that a lot with the Marquette team that I cover, you know, day to day. But do you think that even through the ups and downs, do you think the Bucks are getting better as a team, or are they just being up and down without showing much progress?
That's really a good question, man. I mean, and I think that's hard to gauge. But I think they are getting better in some ways. But, you know, the starters are playing. I guess here's what I would say, man. The starters are playing as a unit. Yes, they have injuries. They've been mostly to the bench, which, of course, has been crippling, as we've documented. But, you know, they could have starters down. They have their starting five, and that's huge. Remember when at the beginning of the season, because Parker's injury last year, we said they've never played with this group. Well, now they have. Now every night we go to Kidd and ask about the lineup, and it's kind of a joke because the lineup's the same. You know, it's not changing. Right now, these five players, they want to see how they are playing together and if they are getting better. And, you know, I think MCW's had his ups and downs, some great games, some games where he disappears. Last night he's going against that great backcourt from Portland. And, Matt, that really is a great backcourt, I think, Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum. McCollum had 30 points, and this kid is really going to be a good player. He can get his shot off. He can shoot the three. 30 points. The Bucks actually held him down, if you recall, in that game in November in Milwaukee that they won by 2 points. And they tried to post him up with Chris. And Chris tried to post him up again last night, but with much less success. And, of course, Chris has been in a slump. He was 0 for 9 on his first 9 shots last night. But that didn't prove to be as successful as it was in Milwaukee. But I think, you know, you got Chris, who's made some strides here now this season. He's been in a shooting slump lately, but you've got to say he looks like a strong shooting guard for the team. You know, Parker, Giannis, Monroe, MCW. So I do see some things that are better. The Bucks certainly have potential to play better after the break with all these home games. I think it'll be interesting to see. Matt, they may be out of it, basically, but how are they going to play? Are they going to play together and keep improving? You know, that was one good comment by Giannis last night. I said, well, how are you guys going to stick together with this slipping away on you now? And he said, hey, he said, if we win 10 in a row or we lose 10 in a row or whatever happens the rest of the year, he said, we got to stick together. Kind of to your point, saying we have to keep improving for the future.
Yeah, and the question is, you know, how long do they, you know, leave their guys in to get that experience? Do they, you know, guys with injuries, do they shut them down at a certain point? You know, if you realize you're out of it, do you try and limit the number of games that guys play and mess with the lineup a little bit and just kind of, you know, coast to the end of the season? And, you know, that's definitely something that we'll have to keep an eye on.
We'll,
you know,
watch that. I don't think that will happen because they, just what you're saying, Matt, they want these young guys, you know, they want to get a good evaluation of how they are fitting together. If they want to make any offseason moves, they have to evaluate it first. And I think one thing, the trade deadline's coming up, you know, I think the Bucks made a huge trade at the deadline last year, so it'll be interesting to see, are they going to make some big move now? You know, sometimes you don't want to send a message to your players that you're going to shake things up every time. You know, that sends the wrong message. In other words, that, hey, you know, we said we believe in you, but we really don't.
Right? Yeah, and it makes me wonder.
That's going to be a test at this trade deadline. Do they stick with it and say, hey, we can make some other moves in the summer, or do they make a big move at the deadline? My thought would be that they would kind of stick with it a little longer and see how everything is going. But I've learned, never say never. Somebody asked on the web chat the other day, well, what do you think? And I was like, no predictions about the trade deadline. I should have learned that by now, right, Matt?
Yeah, the only thing I can really think of is, you know, obviously they have their core guys and they're going to build around those core guys, and then that's the long-term plan. But you look at guys like OJ Mayo with an expiring contract, who he could contribute off the bench to a playoff caliber team.
If he was healthy. But I think there's so many concerns about his hamstring. Both hamstrings have been injured. You wonder what kind of value he would have at the deadline.
Well, and the question is, you know, too, right now it seems like there are a lot of buyers but not a lot of sellers, because you look at both the East and the West, there's a whole slew of teams that are still in the hunt.
In the hunt. And that may prove to the Bucks' favor. That could help them out.
Right. And yes. So if you have teams that aren't selling, you know, suddenly if a playoff caliber team, you know, really wants to add, you know, some shooting and some veteran, you know, and a veteran player off the bench, you know, with an expiring contract where they can just, you know, let him go at the end of the year, you know, then suddenly the market might be a little bit better for that. I'm not saying that the Bucks are going to trade Mayo or have to trade Mayo. I'm just saying that that's something that I'm sure is in, you know, part of the thought process, you know, yeah. when you're in the trade deadline, and if a team's coming at you looking to see what they can get and who you might have, then that's the type of player who you probably aren't considering OJ Mayo a building block for the future.
Oh, no. I mean, look at those expiring contracts, Bayless, Mayo, and Vasquez. You know, no guarantee any of them will return next season.
And
then you would think probably not. So, you know, that's going to be real interesting. You know, I wrote about Vasquez earlier in the week where he was saying he hopes to be back before the end of the season. And I'm sure he would like to be. He's pretty far away from coming back at this point. But if he can, it could benefit him, you know, just to show other teams that he's recovered from his injury. But that doesn't necessarily mean he'll be back with the Bucks. They may be looking for sure to go some other direction, or, you know, there are going to be a lot of things that they can do as far as the draft. Now, if they're in the lottery, if they're looking for some bench help, possibly a trade, free agency. So they'll use all three of those avenues. And obviously they tried to use some last summer, and, you know, they weren't as successful, especially with the Vasquez deal. I think with Greg Monroe, he's done a great job. I mean, he's provided that low post threat, but they have to now keep working to make this roster click. And so far, not all the pieces. Somebody said to me the other day, I think it was one of the writers here in Portland, he said, I think that the Bucks have good pieces. He said, I see they're good pieces, but he said, they're not all-star pieces. And so, you know, you need an all-star. You also need that chemistry. And we saw they had the chemistry last year, even without an all-star. And, you know, that stood them in a pretty good way for most of the season.
Yeah. And, I was kind of thinking about this, talking about Portland and their guards, you know, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. You know, you kind of, I'm hesitant to look too far ahead, but I mean, you look at the draft and it seems like the Bucks will be in the lottery if everything stays the same. And it would be, you know, take a very, you know, big turn of events for them to get out of the lottery and into the playoffs. And it makes you wonder, you know, what the thought process will be considering how young they are right now. And, you know, you look at Lillard and McCollum, those are both, you know, longtime college players, four-year college players, you know, who came out and were ready to contribute a little bit faster than, you know, the young guys on the Bucks. So, you know, obviously it's a little early to project, and there's plenty of time to talk about the draft, but it makes you wonder if the Bucks are going to look for an older guy in the draft, you know, somebody who's coming out after their junior or senior year who might have the, you know, the experience and
might
the
feel a little more prepared. Right.
Yeah, they might be more prepared.
You see a Rashad Vaughn, we've been talking about. He's 19. He played half a year at UNLV, and he's got talent. Doesn't mean he can't emerge as a good, solid NBA player, but it won't be this year.
Yeah, and how many projects can you have? I mean, they have, you know, Giannis, who's still an ongoing project, you know, Jabari, you know, MCW, Rashad Vaughn, Damian Inglis, whether he's here or not next year. If he's there, he's a project. You know, so you're talking about a third of your roster at least is a project player, somebody who you're still trying to tap into their, you know, their potential. And obviously, whoever you draft, there's still going to be somewhat of a project, but the level to which they're a project is is to be determined and can be informed by, you know, how experienced they are and how ready they are for the NBA from day one.
Well, it's always kind of the debate. You know, they got Giannis and, you know, turned out to be a great pick, a guy who had no experience. I mean, he played in the second division in Greece, right? You know, didn't have the experience of a college game or even of exposure to culture in the U.S. And of course, he's become a big part of their building process. So it is a question, but I agree that I think the main thing. They need shooting, shooting, shooting. They need shooters. And you just have to have shooters in today's NBA. And they don't have enough. And that, you know, that's clear. And so they've got to get that fixed.
Definitely. And, you mentioned Giannis and sticking together and all that. What are some other perspectives that you've gotten, or what are your thoughts about how the Bucks are going to handle, you know, this last run up towards the All-Star break and then the rest of the season from there?
Yeah, I think that's real interesting when you think of they have all these home games coming up after the All-Star break. That's a real chance for them to shine, and the schedule becomes a little less forbidding. I think one thing you got to say, of course, we always talk about the schedule. The schedule has been hard. I think you pointed out on the last podcast they had the most road games of any Eastern Conference team at that stage. And they're finally ending with their Western trip here. They go to Salt Lake on Friday, Matt. And, of course, they've lost 13 in a row in in Salt Lake City. So this is not the venue to... you would think where they will be able to change this slide that they're in. But who knows? The Bulls lost there in overtime the other night. So it's, you know, it's a tough place to play, and certainly has been for the Bucks. But I think, you know, they just have to keep working. After the break, they're going to have – it will be a test to see, are they still together? You know, we're talking about Giannis. I was talking to Chris about it last night where he said, hey, we see it slipping away. He said, we've got to focus on these games, these next three. They've got three games before the break. At Utah, then they have Boston and Washington at home. You know, and they have – I think that is – key. We always talk about certain points in the schedule, but if they go into the break losing all three of these games, you'd wonder what kind of spirit and camaraderie there will be.
Yeah, and at that point they'd be 14 games under 500, and you know it's not going to be an easy road. I mean, Utah's right in the mix for the playoffs in the West. Boston's playing great. They've scored.
Boston's been playing wonderful. One in New York last night. Yeah.
They've scored 110 plus points in like six straight games or something like that. I mean, they can score the ball.
Yeah, had a good season. They're kind of the Bucks of last year. Has been Boston this year, wouldn't you say?
Except they got an all-star.
Except they have an all-star player, Isaiah Thomas. Yes, and they've played better. They're really on a nice little roll right now. And then you got Washington, that's been struggling, but trying to get in the playoff position, but in a better position than the Bucks are.
But they've had the Bucks number too.
Yeah, you know, they've just killed the Bucks. So it'll be an interesting three games up until the break. They come back after the break. They'll have Charlotte at home, at Atlanta. They haven't played Atlanta. Just one time they played Atlanta at home, but they haven't played them on the road.
Right.
And then they'll have the Kobe. We'll be talking about that probably in the next podcast, Matt. With teases the next podcast, we'll be talking about Kobe and his final appearance in Milwaukee on February 22nd. And of course, there's a wonder, will Kobe play that night? Because the Bucks, or rather the Lakers, are playing in Chicago the night before. And
he's going to play there.
The back-to-backs, you know, the Bucks fans want to see him. I heard the ticket sales are going very well for that game, and I'm sure they're going well because people are dying and praying that Kobe Bryant will play in that game against the Bucks. Now, he had that huge game last night. Maybe you saw that, Matt.
I did.
On the West Coast, and he was back to vintage. Old Kobe and Sam Mitchell, the coach of the Timberwolves, said, "I hate Kobe," which was just a funny comment after he beat the Timberwolves at the Staples. They said Jack Nicholson was back at the Staples, and Kobe was back to being Kobe, so it was like old times, at least for one night. But I think the Bucks fans are just saying, hey, please play on that game on February 22nd, and I'm sure he's going to get an ovation, unlike he received here in Portland.
Got booed.
When we talked about, you got to love these fans here, who said, well, hey, it's Kobe's last game. Why should we be any different than we've been, you know? They cheer for Portland. The Rip City crowd, I'm telling you, they are something, Matt. Last night, you know, any call that was borderline, and they show it on the scoreboard, they're booing. They're all over the refs. They are for their team. And something to be said. You're not going to see too many Kobe jerseys in Portland, you know. I'm sure we'll see some in Milwaukee, and I'm sure we've seen them all around the league, which is great. But you got to say that's something for Portland.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely something for Portland, you know. But I'll be there on that day with you for the Bucks Lakers games. I'm hoping Kobe plays.
We all hope Kobe plays. I certainly do, and I'm sure the Bucks fans will give him a great ovation and in his last game. And of course, that would be just coming off the All-Star game. So we were talking about that the other day, and I said, hey, you know, maybe he will play because hopefully they don't tax him too hard in the All-Star game, and he gets a little rest after the All-Star game, and then he can play in those games in Chicago and Milwaukee. You know he's playing in Chicago.
There's no question about that.
Yeah. So I think, and that happens to be the game on the Sunday night, then the game on Monday night in Milwaukee. So it will be very interesting, and we'll see what the Bucks do for some kind of salute to him. I'm sure they will do something.
Oh yeah, and you know, part of me wonders, you know, I wonder if they'll, you know, bring in Kareem because he can kind of bridge, you know, the gap between the Lakers and the Bucks. I don't know if anything like that happens.
No,
but you know, I think that they have options and they could pull out all the stops and do something nice for Kobe and, you know, like most teams have been doing.
I'm sure they will. Yeah, it'll be interesting. So we'll talk more about that. I got a little ahead of ourselves, but we are looking at February, and as you know, Matt, while January is that long month, February goes like in a blink, and especially with the All-Star break, and then they're right back to work, and that February's over, and all of a sudden you're in March. So as you're well aware, as you'll be coming up on your March Madness then too.
Yeah, well, the question still remains how much madness I'll be looking forward to. You know, considering you know how the season's going for Marquette, you know, not out of the question. But you know, we'll see. So I think that covers all the topics we were looking at talking about today.
Very good, Matt, and have a great game in Newark, and we will talk next week, last week before the All-Star game. So maybe we'll do a little wrap up at the break.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds great. We can look ahead to the All-Star game.
All right.
All right.
Yep, very good, Matt.
All right. Well, thanks a lot to everybody for joining us for this week's edition of the Journal Sentinel Bucks podcast. As always, you can find the podcast at jsonline.com/bucks. You can also subscribe via iTunes or Stitcher to get the latest podcast automatically uploaded to your phone or tablet. And we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for joining.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.